Such a powerful song. Hence the reason I've chosen it to share it about you today. This song was written probably 25 years ago, something like that, 25 years ago. It was written by a young couple who came to Ormskirk Christian Fellowship. You can carry on playing if you like, I don't mind. And sadly, that young couple are no longer with us. And for a variety of reasons, difficulties, they sort of drifted away from the Lord. Sorry?
You sounded like you said
they were dead. No, sorry. They're not dead, they're very much alive. But for whatever reason, they drifted away. How on earth I really find it difficult to find people who could write a song like that and then just drift away from God. But it can happen, can't it? I think this song really should have been published. And this, with a number of songs, was actually submitted for publication, but that's actually turned down. But I think this is as good as anything that ever Graham Kendrick wrote or Matt Redman ever wrote. It's powerful. It's personal. And every time we sing it, it just touches my emotions and it challenges me. And I hope it challenges you today. If you're hearing it for the very first time, then it's obviously new to you, but some of us are hearing it for the umpteenth time. And you know, the song is not just a song that we sing. It's a prayer, really. It's a prayer. And it's a prayer, and it's more than just a prayer. We can just say prayers, but it's demanding something from us. It's demanding more than just words. It's demanding us to offer something to God. And it says there, take my life. I lay it. That's a personal thing. I lay it, not somebody else. I can't lay your life down. You can't lay my life down. You've got to do that yourself. It's a personal choice there. I lay it on the altar. And then it says everything. Everything. That means everything. Nothing held back. Nothing held back. Nothing held onto. Some of you might remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira in the Bible. It's in Acts chapter 5, I think. And there, they were bringing offerings to the Lord and they held back. They didn't give all. They were asked, is that everything? And they said, oh yeah, that's everything. But they were pocketing some for themselves. And immediately Ananias was killed. And then his wife came in a couple of hours later and she said, oh, have you brought everything as well? Oh yeah, Ananias has brought it all. Knowing full well that he hadn't. And exactly the same thing happened. You know, we can't cheat God. We can't say, yes, I'm giving you everything, Lord, but, you know, I'm keeping a little bit back for myself. We can't do that. It's a living sacrifice. And that living sacrifice means ongoing. It's something that we've got to do all the time. It's a constant thing. If you're anything like me, you need that constant communication with God, don't we? There's another song we sing. It says, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. That's how it needs to be with us and God. It can't just be Sunday morning. This has been fabulous this morning. But then we go to work on Monday, or some of us go to retirement on Monday. And then for the rest of the week, we do our own thing. And then we'll come back next Sunday and we'll have another touch with God. No, I need to leave this place. And this afternoon, this evening, tomorrow, I need to be keeping that constant touch with God, a living sacrifice. And you know, when we say sacrifice, that's painful. If you've had to sacrifice something, whatever that might be, and you've all got different things, that's painful. Because it's taking something that you don't really want to give. Or if you're going to give it, it's going to cost you something. It's hard to give away. But are we willing to do that? Are we willing to be those living sacrifices, which means giving up our selfish ideas and our selfish thoughts and our selfish ways and saying, God, no. If that means I've got to sacrifice, then I'm prepared to do it for you. We all know the story of Abraham and Isaac. What a sacrifice that was. How on earth? You as parents today, put yourself in that place. God tells, take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him. And I, you know, the way Abraham did that is just, it's just mind-boggling that he had the knife ready. That's how much he was prepared to sacrifice. And so God said, whoa, stop. Sacrifice costs. It's something. Nothing held back. There's another story about Saul. You know the story of Saul, where Again, a similar situation where he was told to do something. But then he came to the prophet, and the prophet says, everything been done, everything okay? He said, oh yeah, everything's fine. And Samuel said, what's that bleating I hear in my ear? The bleating of the sheep. You find the story in 2 Kings, I think. Read it for yourself. But basically what he was saying there was, hang on, you said you're sacrificing, but you haven't done what I told you to do. I can hear those sheep bleating in the background. And why are we doing this sacrifice? Why is God asking us to sacrifice? Because it says, for you, our Lord, there shall be no other. You see, our God is a jealous God. And that's not jealous in a worldly sense that we get jealous and nastiness. No, it's a jealousness of God in that he loves us so much and passionate that he's after us, he wants us. That's what it means. God wants us so much. He's a jealous God. God wants you today. Maybe you don't want God, but I'm telling you this, guys, God wants you. We're going to celebrate communion in a few minutes, and that's how much God wants you. God wants you so much that he gave his life on the cross for you. He could have easily not gone on the cross. He could have stepped back with Abraham and Isaac, like that situation there. It was a similar situation on the cross, but he didn't. He went through with it. Why did he go through with it? Because he loved you. He gave his life for you. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. There shall be no one else but you, no other gods before you. He wants total control. Then it says, take my mind and all my thoughts. This is the real tough one for me. Take my mind and all my thoughts. If you're like me, my mind is often running away with me. I see something on the telly or I see something in the street and the thoughts come in and they're not always good thoughts, they're bad thoughts, yeah. They're evil thoughts. They're not good thoughts. You wouldn't want to read my mind at times. Mark quoted a verse a couple of weeks ago. He said this, Psalm 141, verse 8, my eyes are fixed on you, Lord, away from temptation. Has anyone not been tempted? All the time we get tempted. It's coming at us all over the place, social media, advertising, everywhere, the temptation. But we've got to turn away. My eyes are fixed on you. 2 Corinthians says this, take every thought captive, make it obedient to Christ. Every thought. I need to do that constantly. When those things come in, and you say, whoa, hang on, stop. I'm not doing that. That song we sang before says, I've set my heart on you. Set to me means solid, concrete. If it's set, you can't move it. Have you set your heart on God? Or you're on jelly. Are you with God? Are you a jelly person with God? Take it or leave it, wobbly, wobbly, and ooh. No, I've set my heart on God. Have you set your heart on God? You are Lord, there shall be no other. Philippians 4:8 says this, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Hard, isn't it? It's hard. Tough one, but we need to do that. Then it says, take my hands and all my deeds. Whatever you're doing, do it unto the Lord, not unto yourself. We can easily get self-motivated, but let's do it unto the Lord, not to ourselves. But make sure you're doing something. Not take my hands and stick them in my pockets. Take my hands and all my deeds. Take my future. I lay it at your feet. I don't know what you're thinking about the future. If you look at the national press, you look at the media, you look at the world, you think, have we got a future? I'm telling you, we've got a future, guys. We have got a future. I've got a future. I've started my 70th year. Yeah, I'm now at my 70 years and 10, so I could go any minute now. It could happen. You know, guys, it may happen. Who knows? But I say to God, take my future. I lay it at your feet. If that means tomorrow, that's okay. If it means 25 years' time, that's great as well. Lord, just use me. Just take my future. I lay it at your feet. And I don't know, whatever you're holding on to, guys, today, if you've got pressures, put them down. If you've got problems, release them to God. If you've got financial issues, release them to God. Say, Lord, take my future. I don't want to take it. I don't want control of it. Put it into his hands. Jesus is the only one who knows the end from the beginning. He's the only one. And God wants to take you and me beyond our thoughts of the future. You know, our thoughts of what it should be. And for me, I want the future to be different than it's been in the past. Yeah, I'm not satisfied with my past, but my past is gone. Yeah, I can't touch it. But I can affect today and I can affect tomorrow. And that's a lesson I'm learning and I've got to learn as I go forward. And each of us needs to say, Lord, take my future. I lay it at your feet. So whatever your thoughts and plans are today, whatever your career prospects are, you're thinking of your kids, you're thinking of the futures, give it to the Lord. Lay it at his feet. And don't limit him with your plans and ideas. Let him do something beyond your expectation. And that last line is the key. It's all of me. All of me. It says it twice because we need reminding. It's all, not part of it. All of me. All of me. Let's just close our eyes and let's sing it again. Look at the words if you need to. And as we sing it, if you can, say, Lord, yeah, I've sung this song plenty of times in the past. It hasn't really meant a lot to me, but today, Lord, you're challenging me. You're challenging me. Me. And Lord, I want to be different as from today. I want to lay my life down again at your feet. This isn't just a song or words. It's reality that God wants in our lives. Let's sing it again.